went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people. And then finally, the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement. And I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Wabagani Adikam Dinjujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
Was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We wish.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade Hingadena.
Hey, Wendy, welcome back to the show again. This is exciting. You know, joining us today is Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota House Representative representing District 27. And she's like the first Democrat Native ever voted in North Dakota. So it's exciting to have her. Mary Kanush Podine, who's running for Senate in District 41. And also, go ahead, Wynn.
41B?
Yeah, it's just District 41. She's a state representative in 41B. So Nancy Bolio, along with you, Wendy. And then we have that new part.
Don't forget about Emma.
Well, we will never forget about Emma. But she's got her essay, Good Call, and that'll be on. And then also Larry of Indigenous Music with Larry Kay. And he's our new segment here, and we're excited. He does an interview for us and then plays some of the tracks. So yes, we're excited to have him.
Kind of fun.
Hey, I talked earlier with Ruth Buffalo, and let's take a listen, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm really excited to have a House Representative from North Dakota, Ruth Buffalo, here. And she's been serving since December of 2018, and she's also the first Native American woman elected in North Dakota legislature. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me. Yep, small correction, I'm the first Native American Democrat woman. Our Democratic Nonpartisan League woman elected to the state legislature in North Dakota. But thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, again, to be on the airwaves with you this morning.
Yeah, and I just love to see the things that you do. I follow you on Facebook and Twitter and things that are going on, and I really appreciate what you're doing for our people and the people of North Dakota. I know we have a lot of people listening from North Dakota. Hey, I just got a couple questions, and one of the questions is, how has the first 2 years been? What's the highlights? What do you expect for the next 2 years? I'd just like you to talk, because, again, we have a lot of people that are interested in you and also a lot of people that listen and watch us in North Dakota.
Yeah, so the first 2 years have been really, really nonstop. I mean, it's been a really good 2 years so far, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 years. North Dakota is, I believe, we're one of four or one of five states where our House reps serve four-year terms as opposed to two-year terms. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that we're either one of four or one of five states where our state legislature, we convene every other year for the legislative assembly. So right now we're in an off year, mm-hmm. and that means they call it the interim committee year. So we get assigned to different interim committees. I'm on the Judiciary Interim Committee, and we meet throughout this year, probably a total of between maybe eight or nine times, for the whole day's worth of committee hearings in Bismarck. So some of the issues that we're looking at are gaming, pool tabs, electronic pool tab gaming, juvenile justice, Mm-hmm. And like the recreational marijuana ballot initiative. Trying to think what else. So those are some pretty big, big topic areas. And we, a lot of the bills that either did not die and were turned into a study, or just started out as a study to begin with, we're looking at all of those, or they get studied during this interim year. So that's kind of what's on the docket. And then we'll convene in 2021 for our legislative session. Another interesting, important thing to note is that in the 2021 Legislative Assembly, we'll be voting on redistricting off of the 2020 census results. Mm-hmm. And then I'm up for election in 2022.
Cool. So what is your so you want to run again. So things are going pretty good. You like your job. You like serving the people. What are some of the highlights, if you like, in the last 2 years you've had? Or the state had?
Highlights, I think, for me personally, is seeing a lot of new people come into the Capitol, a lot who have lived in North Dakota their whole lives, but for many of them, it was their first time ever visiting the Capitol or participating or observing a House floor session. So I think for me personally, that's been the highlight. And it's been a broad spectrum of representation, not only Native people, but African-American people, white people, just all people have shared with me like how much more informed they are of the legislative process. Even during my race, I would get a lot of positive feedback of how much more they've learned of how the process works in running a campaign. And then after winning my race and then being in the legislature, I would still receive a lot of feedback on the street and just in passing at restaurants. People would say, geez, thanks for all the information. I never knew about this legislative process at all,
Right.
And it's not rocket science, so that's the cool thing is that like people are now aware that anybody can run for office, anybody can be a legislator, and anybody can participate in this process that wasn't always intentionally meant for us.
That's right. And I mean, just having people that look like us, we're so proud to be here in Minnesota. And I know as an educator, I'm a high school teacher and I have work with a lot of Native kids. It's so important for us to see somebody like you look like us, be successful and represent us and represent a whole state. So I really want to say Pini Gigi for that. So can you tell us a little bit about your family? And how how they've been adjusting to these last 2 years?
Gosh, I mean, I know we're a busy family in general. We are pretty active, so it just step things up a notch or, turn things up a notch for us. So I think everybody's adjusting pretty good and we're thankful. Like, we really appreciate and recognize any downtime that we have, that how important and special it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to that end, I remember having a conversation with my kids, the two oldest after the 2016 election. So I know it was between December and January. I was doing a lot of work on my laptop and sometimes even in my room and, the kids come in, say goodnight. And I remember telling my son, at that time he was, I think, 8 or 9. Mm. And I told him, I'm going to be gone a lot, during these next 4 years. And the work that I'm doing is, going to benefit not only us, but it's going to benefit everybody. And then he really was quiet and kind of like soaking it in and just nodded his head, yes, and gave me a hug. But I always kind of go back to that where I tried to prepare my kids, not really sure of what exactly was going to happen. I at that point in time, I wasn't sure. I knew I wanted to help make a change, and I wasn't exactly sure that I was going to run for a legislative race. And then, I did later, a few, like 3-4 months later, I got endorsement through our district at our district convention and things. But I just I'm so thankful that I had that moment with my kids to kind of like talk, you know, always trying to like talk them through things or prepare them so they're not blindsided by anything.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of always stands out in my mind.
I'm glad this is radio because I kind of got teary-eyed. That was a moment for sure. So how are we doing with voter suppression in North Dakota? Are we on top of that? I know we had some issues the last few elections, not counting people, and so where are we at with that right now?
In general, I would say there's a lot of moving parts to it, and I know that there's a lot of people working to address it in different levels. There's different groups. Like we have the North Dakota Native Vote Group that I believe kind of is a sister organization to Western Native Vote. They're kind of underneath the Western Resource Organizations or Western Resource Council under that umbrella out of Montana or regionally. But I know that they did a lot of work to help get people to the polls in the 2018 election, specifically in Standing Rock. And then we have a lot of other outside groups that are, you know, wanting to help. And the people on the ground within North Dakota or within the state structure also are working to try to find, something like a best practice, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's on the radar for the tribes, and I know it's on the radar to the Indian Affairs Commission office. That's appointed position by the governor within the governor's cabinet. So I know that they are working on it, but as far as like specific details, I'm not aware of any of those yet.
Yeah, that's cool. So I know you have like an engaging story of being elected, and one of the things that I know we've talked before, and one of the cool things for me is that you ran for another office and didn't get elected. And then you ran again and got elected. Is that a true story, or am I heard that story right? Could you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, in 2016, I ran for insurance commissioner, and that was a statewide race. I remember back then thinking, you know, I want to get involved with the party. I want to encourage people to vote, and I knew that the 2016 election was coming up. And then, long story short, next thing I knew, I was running for office. Not only just, you know, office, but a statewide race. And that was a really important, I felt like a critical time for us in our state. I believe I signed the papers halfway through my final semester of grad school at NDSU.
Wow.
And a lot of moving parts there, too, within our family. And we had gotten two new additions to our family that were supposed to be temporarily there, but we're out there, our little relatives. And so it was, I just look at, you know, all the moving parts. You know, my late father-in-law had a stroke early that spring like that. And so it was, and then there was an entertainer coming to the Fargo-Moorhead area, coming to the Fargo Theater, who had a very blatant, racist platform towards Native Americans. And so classmate and I were actually organizing a peaceful demonstration at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had met with the venue and they were not going to cancel that show. And then so we thought, well, we'll just do a peaceful demonstration across the street. And then did media interviews and received, you know, the, I guess you could say, the token anonymous Facebook message from the opponents, you know, or no proponents, I guess people who were like, why are you doing this? Why, you know, things like that. But we're like, we're moms and we have children in the school system and we didn't want any of that sort of rhetoric to trickle back into the classroom. And of course it's going to happen either way, but we felt like we just couldn't sit back and do nothing. And so anyways, that entertainer ended up canceling the show. And then weeks later, there was a big push, you know, people kept asking, will you run for office? And I think the timing, you know, if we were not organizing a peaceful demonstration weeks prior, I probably wouldn't have thrown my name in the hat.
Wow.
Cause I think as as people in general, we're always thinking we're not ready, or, you know, I'll wait two more years, 5 more years, or, you know. So I'm glad that, like, I did, but what also was helpful to me in taking that plunge was two other natives.
Mm-hmm.
Natives were running for office, Chase Iron Eyes for U.S. House in Congress, and mm-hmm. then Marlo Hunt, she was running for Public Service Commission.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that, you and know, then, it's, a, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, and then when we learned that when the three of us were running, Mark Trehunt, he was at UND at the time, and he shared with us that we were making history because nowhere in the United States did we ever have, until that point, any natives on a statewide ticket at the same time.
Wow.
So, and that's great, you know, it was like, wow, we didn't know that. You know, we didn't set out to do that.
Wow.
But at the same time, it was like, geez, this is long overdue, and we should have like 50 natives running for office. So it was like cool in 2018 to see so much more people, new mm-hmm. people running for office.
Right. God, that's a great story. Say, I'm on a committee here up in the Twin Cities, and we have this big march on February 14th, and I saw your name pop up. Is there a possibility you're coming up for the Murdered and Missing Indigenous March here on Valentine's Day?
I am. I got
exciting.
Asked. And then to be there the day before also for other doings. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm honored to be a part of it, and any chance that I can have to help, you know, share a message of hope and action, I'm there.
Right on. And it gets bigger every year, and I'm excited to see what happens. We won't be pumping that up for another week or so, but I saw your name and I was really excited to see you, because I think the last time I saw you was at the presidential forum in Iowa.
And yeah.
That was really fun.
Yeah, that was neat to see that. I think that, you know, again, that was history, and
mm-hmm.
just looking forward to, like, thinking forward, you know, what things our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be doing, you know.
Right.
So, pretty cool.
I'm here with North Dakota House Representative Ruth Buffalo of the 27th District and the first Democratic woman elected in the North Dakota legislature. I am just so grateful that you could spend a little time with us today and tell us your story. And I'll be excited to see you February 14th in Minneapolis.
Yes, thank you.
Pini Gigi for being on. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Mag Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
This is Ruth Buffalo from North Dakota. I'm the House State Representative for District 27, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm here with Wendy, and just a jam-packed show here. Wasn't Ruth awesome?
I loved it. Nice. Especially loved the story that she, you know, told her kids that, you know, she's going to go out there and fight, and that she was asking them for their support, and it was really beautiful.
It was, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, here's one of our regulars here, Mary Kunish Podine, and she's running for state senate now.
For District 41.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Hey, Matake Yape. This is Mary Kunish Podine, State Representative, candidate for the Minnesota Senate. It is January 24th, 2020, and I can't believe we're 3 weeks into the new year already, but just 2 weeks away from the start of our legislative session. And so I'm busy finishing up at school and getting ready for this new session and do some good things for folks in Minnesota. But I wanted to talk this day about literature, one of the things that I am most passionate about and love most in my life. I'm a library media specialist at a middle school, so I'm always so excited to hear and see all the good legislation and the good literature that comes out of Minnesota. And I'm so excited to share with all of you, if you hadn't heard about it, but this beautiful book called Johnny's Pheasant, written by Cheryl Minima. She is from the Mille Lacs Lake Reservation, Ojibwe. It's illustrated by Julie Flett, who is Cree and Métis up in British Columbia. They went together in on this book, Johnny's Pheasant, and it has won the 2020 Charlotte Zolotow Award. And this award is given to authors and illustrators who have the most outstanding writing in a picture book. It's given every year to the author of the very best picture book that's published in the United States in the preceding year. And so this is a beautiful, beautiful book about a Native family, written, of course, again by this Ojibwe author. And it's just a beautiful picture book that's crafted when Johnny and his grandma find a small feathery hump near a ditch, and they're not for sure what it is, but the little boy insists they stop, and they discover that it is a pheasant, and grandma, of course, thinks that it was probably hit by a car, and Johnny's pretty sure that it's only sleeping. But it's a beautiful, beautiful book, and I would encourage you all to get the opportunity to check it out from your local library, or go ahead and maybe go down to the Birch Bark Bookstore, our Native American bookstore, and purchase it for your family. There were a couple other honor books also with the Charlotte Zolotow. Fry Bread, A Native American Family Story, was written by Kevin Noble Maillard and illustrated by Juana Martinez Neal. Map Into the World, written by Minnesota's Kao Kalia Yang. And Poco and the Drum, that was written and illustrated by Matthew Forsyth. Saturday was also written and illustrated by the author and illustrator Olga Mora. And then Truman, this is a book that was written by Jean Reddy, and it's illustrated by Lucy Ruth Cummins. So these are all picture books, and I love picture books. Picture books tell a really good story in a short time, and kids love it, middle schoolers love it, adults love them, especially when they have beautiful illustrations to go along with the beautiful words. So keeping on that theme of literature, I thought I would share with you some other books by Indigenous authors that came out here in 2020. There's just a slew of them that I've read a couple, but I'm really dying to read them all. So the first one I'll talk about is called This Town Sleeps by Dennis Staples. It is a very multifaceted book, and it's the story of a queer Ojibwe man. He lives on a reservation in northern Minnesota, and it's his story of an on-again and off-again relationship with his very, very closeted former high school classmate, who is a white man. And he accidentally resurrects the spirit of a dog buried under the playground, and then that ghost of the dog leads him to the grave of another high school classmate, and it goes into that story about what happened. So this book is pretty fascinating. This is one that I've read, This Town Sleeps by Dennis Staples. The next one is Medicine Wheel, Environmental Decisions and Making Process of Indigenous People by Michael E. Marchand. He is the former chair and council member of the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation, and he's the president of the Affiliated Tribes of the Northwest Indians Economic Development Corporation. So along with a bunch of other Indigenous editors, they put together this book. It's nearly 500 pages of essays, and they're exploring the connection between people and the environment, but always using that Indigenous framework of thinking. And so that's called The Medicine Wheel, Environmental Decision-Making Process of Indigenous People by Michael Marchand. And then this next book is pretty fascinating. It's called Postcolonial Love Poem by Natalie Diaz. And this book is so interesting. It kind of studies the body in poem, and it focuses on the preservation of Native American lives and culture. And in one review that I read, they described it as her attempt to exist as a Native in a world with a history of colonization and genocide, which in itself is a form of protest and celebration. So that's a really interesting, good book, Postcolonial Love Poems by Natalie Diaz. The next one is Spirit Run by Noe Alvarez. And he is a first-generation Mexican-American man. And his parents worked in the orchards out in Washington State. And he gets involved in the First Nations movement of peace and dignity journeys. And he uses ultra-running, which is so interesting, to renew cultural connections across North America. So in the book, it goes, it spans 4 months, and he joins a group of runners from Canada to Guatemala. And it talks about his trip through the landscapes and the land and his relationship to people and the earth and the ancestry. So Spirit Run is an excellent one. Louise Erdrich, her new book, The Night Watchman. I think we all know Louise Erdrich's vast collection of writing and how incredible it is. And this is a fictional story about her grandfather. And he worked as a night watchman. And it's set in her family's reservation in what is now called North Dakota back in the 1950s. And it was around the time that the U.S. Congress was active in its attempt to terminate treaties with the rights of indigenous people. And so this book takes you through Erdrich's grandfather's life and brings in other familial members. And it's just as usual, totally engrossing and little twists and surprises in there. So Louise Erdrich's The Night Watchman. And then we have Day/Break by Gwen Benaway. And she is an Anishinaabe and Métis poet. She's won awards across the board. And this time her new collection is really a fascinating book about trans feminine experiences and the trans misogyny and the violent legacy of colonialism, about the bodies and the wonder, limitations about sex and expansiveness. She's an exciting contemporary poet and just a magnificent piece of work. That's called Day/Break by Gwen Benaway. And then this is another poetry book. The title is Spawn by Marie-Andre Gill, and it was originally written in French, and it's been translated for us. She is an Innu poet, and her latest poetry book follows a teenage protagonist and alter ego as she comes of age in the 90s. And it brings back a lot of cultural things like Nintendo and all of the sort of things that young women need to go through. But the way that she weaves imperialism and colonialism with that of adolescence and the search for meaning is really, really profound. And so that one is Spawn by Marie-Andre Gill. And then we have For Joshua by Richard Wagamese. And this is a reissue of his, he's an Ojibwe writer, and this is a reissue of a book where there's a series of letters and lessons for his sons. And he wrote of that internal and external struggle with substance abuse and trauma and shares that with us again. So this is a reissue titled For Joshua, Richard Wagamese. And then this next is a poetry book, Words Like Thunder, New and Used, Anishinaabe Prayers by Louise Beardsley. And she, again, is award-winning Ojibwe author and artist. And this book, it's really interesting how it's set. It's set in four parts that sort of circle the themes of strength, peace, loss, resilience, time, family, identity, and land, all the time weaving in like colonial effects and climate change, socioeconomic inequalities, but just, you know, how you do that in poetry is beyond me, but she has done it. Words Like Thunder, New and Used Anishinaabe Prayers by Louise Beardsley. And then here we have an incredible book called Bone Black. I haven't read it yet. I'm waiting. It's by Carol Rose Golden Eagle, and it is a novel about the endemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women, which, you know, is something that I am very focused on, especially legislatively. And so this is the story of two young women. They're twins, Raven and Wren, and one of them goes missing. And she's dismissed. The sister looks for her. She's dismissed by the police. then her she follows the media reports that that are not always honest, and is looking for that justice. So Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's novel called Bone Black by Rachel Rose Golden Eagle. And then the last one that I'll share with you is called Empire of Wild by Cherie Demuline. She is the author of one of my most favorite books called The Marrow Thieves. That's a young adult novel. This is the retelling of the traditional Métis story that includes a werewolf-like creature named Rogueru, who has, you know, by story haunts the Métis communities. And it tells the story of a woman named Joan, whose husband Victor went missing, and she is looking for them, and it brings in all the different aspects of their community. Some of them are very dark. Some of them she finds herself in connection with other characters, and it's apparently just an incredibly enthralling book, very mysteriously thriller that weaves threads of colonialist legacy and trauma, brings in family bonds, human resiliency, and fallibility. So much heart in this book, apparently. So that's what I have for you this week. A week of literary gold for all of you to enjoy. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and we will be in touch next week. Take care.
Wow, that was awesome, Wen.
Yeah, and you know how much we love books.
Yeah, we do.
And the funny thing is just a few minutes ago, I posted before Mary even came on. I didn't know what she was talking about. And I posted something on Facebook, and I tagged you in it about the value of owning more books than you can read. because even having those books, unread books, enriches our lives, as it reminds us of everything we don't know. Wow. And it's really good to have the books around, even if we don't read them. So,
right on. Yeah. Hey, we'll talk a little bit in the next segment. Thank you, Mary Kunish-Podine, for all you do. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll have that list of books up on our Facebook.
Yeah.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit MN350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Cool, cool.
Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Wendy, this is time now. We had those other sections go pretty long, so we're going to go right into section four, and we're going to have what we always like to listen to and can't wait to hear Emma.
Emma Needham from Red Lake.
That's right. So let's take a listen.
This is Ogama Gnu Ikwe, writing two stories. I believe that we are all writers, and we are all historians. We don't simply sit down and write a best-selling novel, and we don't have to spend years of our lives in classrooms studying history to understand how important it is. We write our own stories as we live our lives. And there are certain parts of our stories that are written for us by those around us, generally our parents or the people who raised us, or some combination of the two. If you're now a parent, you now have the responsibility to not only write your own story, but somebody else's at the same time. This is both an amazing blessing, and also a huge responsibility. But even if you're not a parent, it's important to remember that just because it's part of your history doesn't mean it has to be true. To give an example, a simple one. When I was a kid, Pluto was a planet. And then sometime in high school, I think, it wasn't a planet anymore. And then it was a planet again. And for a while, it was simply classified as a moon for another planet, an ice moon. And then it was just a space object. And now, to the best of my ability, my understanding that Pluto is a dwarf planet. Or as another example, people did not always know the Earth was round, nor did we always know that it orbited around the sun. Things have changed over time, and our knowledge of things has grown, and we now know that the Earth is round and that it orbits the sun. However, there are still people that believe the world is flat. And no amount of science or history will tell them otherwise. Now, I'm not saying to go around and believe that the world is flat when clearly it's not. But if there was ever a time in your childhood where the situation around you and the things that were out of your control had you doubting your self-worth, whether or not you were worth it, whether or not you were loved, if there was abuse or neglect, and you wondered if you deserved that, perhaps you still grapple with that. It's important to remember that just because it's a part of your history doesn't mean that it's true. You can pick up the pen of your life and start writing at any point something that's different than what you believe to be true up until this point. Because things do change. We change. Our children change. If your parent and your child ask you the same question at age 2 as they do at age 12, there's a good chance that your answer to them will be different depending on their age. But in fact, most of us probably don't remember asking direct questions to the adults that cared for us. Because what we learned is a culmination of everything that we experienced and the information that we gathered along the way. Those little children you see running around are also writers and historians. They're writing their own history from the information that's around them. And we all do the same. At 30 years old, I'm just now realizing the depths of what it means to be a parent. Because when I was a child, I had no idea the work that my parents did to gain and remain their sobriety. And so far from my mother and both my father, they remained sober my entire life. I wasn't capable as a child of knowing or really understanding that to the level that I do now. But it does help me to forgive them for any of their shortcomings. Because I understand now that they were learning at the same time that they were helping me write my story. And while it's easy to say that we know more than our children, or maybe that we know ourselves better than the people around us, the people that are a part of our story, it's important to remember that we don't need to continue to ask people to forgive us for the part of our story that we didn't write. We can take responsibility for how our story is going to play out moving forward. Children are gracious enough that they often forgive us daily for things maybe we didn't even know we did wrong. And you don't have to be a parent or a child to offer yourself the same unconditional forgiveness. To offer the people around you that couldn't or maybe didn't know better by you the same forgiveness. Escaping generational trauma is not something where you have to regress to a past life and realize all of the trauma that your ancestors went through. Breaking the cycle is simply the same idea as writing your own history as your life continues going forward. This is Okama Gnu Ikwe, writing two stories for Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Emma. That's awesome as always.
Yeah, I love Emma. She's great. Kind of reminded me when she was talking about, you know, the children and when children ask questions when they're really young and then later on in life. And it's really, it's kind of funny because I've been having a lot of memories that I haven't had in a really long time. My mom passed on October 28th, and I remember like just listening to a song, and a song came on the radio just the other day, Carly Simon, You're So Vain, and it popped, a memory popped in my head that I hadn't thought about in, gosh, 50 years, and it was me and my mom driving in our old Oldsmobile station wagon we called Betsy, and we're driving down the street, and of course I didn't have a seatbelt on because in those days you didn't have to, and I was like standing up in the back kind of leaning over her, and the song was playing, and I remember asking my mom, "Mom, what does vain mean? You know, you're so vain." And she said, "Well, you know, it's when you think care about how you look, and you know, you really, you know, you need to be important, and you're so vain." And then I asked her, "What does it mean when they say you watched yourself gavotte?" And I didn't know what that was. And she said, "You know, you walk like really big and you're a big shot and you're walking through the room and you want everybody to notice you." And it's funny because I just heard that song the other day and that memory popped up in my head about that story about my mom explaining words that I didn't understand, you know. So
yeah,
it's important. And we have those memories in our head, and sometimes things jolt those memories. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's cool.
Yeah, we're going to bypass this commercial break because of the awesome segments we had, and then catch up on those on the second hour. For the second hour, Wendy, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about some our sacred animals. And
sacred then, animals, of course. Love to talk about our sacred animals. It's very important.
And then Nancy Bolio of 350M Bemidji, mm-hmm. and giving her report. And then also we have a new segment that we're going to end the show with, or not end the show, but get close to ending the show. Larry Kay with Indigenous in Music.
Yeah, he's new on the show.
Yeah, and he does a great interview, and then he'll play a track and
of really cool music.
That's right. So this has been an awesome show. Again, we had Ruth Buffalo on and Mary Kunish Podine, and we'll have the list of books that she put up, mm-hmm. on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And so people can jump in that. And we also have a couple books, too, here that were This Town Sleeps by Dennis Staples. That's coming out in March. And a book that we're going to read together,
mm-hmm.
The Marrow Thieves, like bone marrow.
Yeah, Marrow Thieves.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, hey, can't wait for the second hour. We're going to have a little break before the second hour. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We'll be right back after the short break with Hour 2.
We are a Lusa Nation. We are a Lusa Nation.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, Hindi Kutagi.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake in Hour 2. I want to welcome everyone back, and this show is dedicated for those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, please, Wendy, and welcome.
Ooh, so formal. Yes, my name is Hanaji Hihani, which means cares for them.
I'm just reading this.
I know, you're reading. Yeah, so thank you for letting me talk about our sacred animals. I really appreciate it. So I was looking at a picture the other day, and it was a picture of a little deer on a blacktop paved road through the forest. And the caption said, "The deer is not crossing the road. The road is crossing the forest." And I thought that was very profound, because most people who looked at the picture would think that the deer was crossing the road, but in fact, the road is crossing the forest. So what I want to talk about today is how many animals are getting killed on our roads. So the more roads we build, we're really impacting these animals and their habitat, and it's really it's becoming a problem. I have an article here from the National Geographic, and it said in just 2 years alone, one stretch of highway in Utah, 98 deer, 3 moose, 2 elk, multiple raccoons, and a cougar were killed in car collisions. A total of 106 animals in the United States. There are 21 threatened and endangered species whose very survival is threatened by road mortalities, including, listen to this, Robert, the Key West deer in Florida. Remember when we went to Florida and those little key deer, they're like these little baby deer, and they live in the Keys.
How many?
They're getting killed by roads, road. They didn't say how many, but they're an endangered species. And one of the top problems is that they're getting hit by cars. Bighorn sheep in California and red-bellied turtles in Alabama. And these are all endangered species. And, of course, people are also hurt. About 200 die every year in the more than 1 million car collisions in the United States, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. These crashes are expensive, too. Deer car collisions cost an average of $8,190. So this is a really a big problem. Animals are dying. Endangered species, we're losing them because of just car collisions. And I found an article which is really awesome, because in Los Angeles, and there's also other places in Canada and in the United States, where they're building wildlife bridges over the highways so that these animals can cross over and not get killed. So Los Angeles is to build the largest wildlife bridge allowing animals to move freely across mountains. And it's currently, Los Angeles is currently designing the largest ever animal wildlife bridge over a 10-lane freeway. The bridge is in its final design stages and is targeted to be open in 2023. Once approved, it would go over the 101 freeway in Agoura Hills. The area is part of the Santa Monica mountain region, home to mountain lions and many other species. The bridge acts as a connector for species, allowing them to roam and move to other parts of the mountains. Segmentation, according to Pratt, affects many species of animals, including birds and lizard. And Beth Pratt, she's with the National Wildlife Federation, told local news station KCAL9, they're not just bridges. The animals have to feel safe. If we don't provide this connectivity, they can't get dates outside their families. Like all of us, the 405 divide has killed many a romance. So she's kind of making it a little funny, but it is a serious matter.
Well, remember when we went to that drum corps show in Menominee, Wisconsin?
Yes. And we were driving down, was it 94? Driving down 94, I think after the third dead deer, we started counting them. And by the time we got to Menominee, wasn't there like 12 dead deer on the side of the road or
just
more?
Just on the way there.
Just on the way there.
Because it splits off. You can't see the other side of the highway.
It was crazy.
Because there was more on the way home.
That's right. So it's and it's really scary. It's a really big problem, and it's really dangerous. I mean, people shouldn't be dying in their cars because they're hitting animals, and the animals shouldn't be getting killed because we're putting roads through there.
Well, there's got to be some kind of...
Well, these bridges, I think this is what we need to do. We need to put these bridges over the highways. And the animals are smart. They find these bridges. And what they're doing with the bridges is they're making the bridges inconspicuous to the animals. So they're like there's grass on them and little trees. And it kind of like just goes into the natural forest. And the animals will walk over it.
Here's some trivia. If you are about to hit a deer or coming out on the street or the highway, mm-hmm. hold your horn down solidly. Do not beep it. Have you ever heard that?
I did hear that. Yep.
They won't know the direction is if you honk, honk, honk it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard that. So that's good. Well, you know what? I hope we never have to endure that or have to, come close to that because it's really scary.
Yeah.
I was reading.
Well, our daughters have hit deers.
Yeah. It's really scary.
I lived up in Princeton.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, they have the deer crossing signs for the next X amount of miles. So you're just kind of being aware and hopefully you're looking on the side of the road and making sure that you're not seeing the deer. And there's some places too that have like sensors and the lights will flash if there are moving animals on the side of the road.
We need more of those.
Yeah. But, you know, this Beth Pratt, she said that Los Angeles is going to inspire the world. And she says people are going to be driving under these bridges and know what's possible in L.A. and that they are helping and saving animals. And then once this bridge goes up and other places see how it's saving money, right? Saving lives, saving animals, that more places will do this.
I know the ones I've seen are really kind of magical. Mm-hmm. How big is this? How wide?
Do you know? This one is a big one. I think I just read
couple lanes.
It is. It's going over a 10 lane freeway. Huh. So could you imagine how
long.
Big it's,
yes. How long it is.
That's, I don't think I've ever seen a 10 lane highway in my life. I mean, I'm from New York and I've seen like four on one side and four on the other, which maybe is eight. So maybe pretty close. But these animals, they need to be able to move around and find other animals to mate with and to, you know, be with. Mountain lions were at risk of going extinct because they couldn't find other mates outside their families. And the bridge will be designed to blend into the surroundings so the animals don't even realize that they're on a bridge. So that's awesome.
Yeah, really.
Oh, here it is. It will extend 165 feet over the freeway. Mm-hmm. And it is designed so that it's accessible and feels comfortable for a variety of different kinds of animals. So many species will find it. It'll be very wide, and the animals will be able to do this. I also read an article that they were doing this in Africa because the elephants, they weren't really getting killed, but they would be standing in the middle of the road blocking traffic, right? So then the cars couldn't even go, and the elephants were very stubborn and would just stand there, right? So the cars couldn't move. And they built these bridges in Africa for really big animals, for giraffes and elephants. And once the bridge was built, they all stood back to say, like, oh, geez, how long is it going to take the animals to find the bridge and use it? And it only took 24 hours for the animals to find the bridge and to use the bridge.
What's that word that we just learned about poop?
Scat.
If you put some scat up there, it probably would help them, too.
Would they smell like scat?
And then they could through.
Okay. But anyway, so this is, you know, I think this is important, and we need to help save people's lives, animals' lives.
Very positive, too.
And yeah. And
very positive.
And protect endangered species. I mean, animals should not be going extinct because they're getting hit by cars. I mean, that's pretty lame.
Well, that's what I was saying in 2020. Can't there be lights or little sound things when mm-hmm. they get close to the fence? I'm just thinking
yes,
of like 94.
Places, there are places that
what
do
you
that.
We were talking about mm-hmm. going to Menominee. But yeah. I mean, it's a deer festival going all the way from the Twin Cities to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So maybe having some, you know, and I mean, I'm sure that the bridges are really, really expensive, but in the long run, I think it's really going to help us. So thank you, Lim. Thank you for letting me talk about the bridges that will save wildlife.
Well, again, you know, all things are relatives, and what we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one. That's Black Elk. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Peeny Geegee Wendy for all you do and all the information you give about our sacred animals. It's a very huge deal. We'll be right back after this short break.
Big one. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, Governor Walz, thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, we're up now with Nancy Bolio from 350 Bemidji, and we're always excited for her. We like to say a two-minute update, but there's a lot of words, so I think it goes up to like 9 minutes. Hey, welcome, Nancy.
Well, thank you, Robert, for having me again. I appreciate this opportunity to share some information. Again, I'm Nancy Bolio. I am Minnesota Chippewa Tribe constituent, Leech Lake, and I am the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350 with the Bemidji 350 chapter. And today we have a couple of important things, and one of them being the Enbridge Line 3. So I'm going to share a little bit about an event that's taking place on the 31st, and it's the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission is hearing from the citizens one last time on a newly added study on the risk of the Line 3 oil spill to the Lake Superior watershed. So we know Enbridge employees and hired, you know, hacks, basically other unions that work on the pipelines will pack the room. So we're asking our Native people, our concerned allies, to make time to attend the hearing at the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission on Friday, January 31st. So the Public Utilities Commission will directly hear testimony about the Line 3 pipeline from members of the public for the first time since 2014, because what we've seen in the past was there was a judge without decision-making power, or only our written comments were allowed when we gave comments. So none of the four current public utilities commissioners who are legally responsible for making major decisions on the Line 3 project, they haven't seen or heard the incredible opposition to this project from Minnesotans. So on the 31st, let's make sure they hear from us. So at this hearing, they're going to be addressing three questions in regards to the final environmental impact study on the Lake Superior watershed. And those three questions that they will be addressing, the first one is the revised final environmental impact study. Is it good enough? And we haven't seen that yet. The first time around it didn't work, so now they had to go back to the drawing board, and now we're on the second environmental impact study. So we're addressing, is that adequate enough to call it safe? And we know it's not safe. Tar sands sinks, and it doesn't float, and their cleanup involves, like, booms, and you can't clean up tar sands because it sinks. So that's why we feel that it's not going to be good if it spills. The second question, in light of the revised final environmental impact study, what action should the commission take on the application for certificate of need for the Line 3 replacement project? Well, we know by the Minnesota Department of Commerce there is no need for this, and it's so we want to address that. Minnesota doesn't depend on this oil, and it's not good, and it's equal to like 50 coal plants just by itself, so we don't want that. And especially after the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency just on Tuesday here in Bemidji stated that 56% of Minnesota water is already contaminated, yeah. And that's because of the forever chemical, and we don't want no more risk, so Line 3 is not a good mix. And the third question, in light of the revised final impact study, what action should the commission take on the application for pipeline routing permit for the Line 3 replacement project? So it's important that we answer those three questions and make sure that the public is heard. So we encourage our urban relatives to rally up together, go pick up your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, bring your ribbon skirts and your ribbon shirts, and make sure that we as Native people are heard, because it's part of our culture and part of who we are, and we got to make that stand, because women are water protectors, so I encourage people listening to make time, and if there's any financial barrier with gas, we do have Sierra Club that was very, very nice to reach out to us the other day and say, hey, we can offer gas for people to be there if that's a barrier. So, again, you can follow that with that information with Natalie Cook, and she'll be the point person for that at the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. She'll have gas cards available, because we don't want no one left out, and if money's a barrier, we don't want to make problems for anyone. We just want to make sure people can be heard. So, yeah, again, January 31st, show up. This is important, because we know Enbridge is going to pack that room with their blue shirts and their scripted stuff, and our water is more important than their job security.
What time does that start?
8:30 in the morning, it says. But they want people there hours ahead of time if they can, because we know Enbridge is going to bus in a bunch of people. But it's going to be an overflow room. The questions, the comments will be a lottery draw, so it sounds like not all the people will be able to comment. But that's why it's important for our people to show up, because Enbridge will outnumber us, obviously, if we don't show up, and they're going to only hear from people who are trying to protect their job security instead of clean water. So, that's why we encourage our people to show up.
Right.
So, yeah, so spread the word, you guys, and you can find more information on MN350 on Facebook. So, and share the post. Let's get people there. Yeah. And then another thing that we got going on is a Minnesota Chippewa Tribe land transfer. And, again, that's about more pipelines and mining in the future. But on the 31st, same day as the PUC meeting, there is an important meeting with the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, TEC, and that's a tribal executive committee. And I'll just start off by saying the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe has denied the Reservation Business Committee's request to address the land transfer. And the reason why they did that was because they were citing decorum on behalf of the tribal membership as justification for not allowing discussion. So just because we're addressing this illegal activity, our TEC president thinks she can put a lid on it by refusing to put it on the agenda. So we're going to be there, and we've taken some actions, and I don't want to, you know, say it out too loud, but I think the actions and the efforts we put forth are really about people power. So, again, we encourage people, if you are Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, to attend this meeting. So some of us can't make the PUC because this land transfer is important to stop because, you know, we want to keep the future clean and clear of pipelines and mining, and if we don't stop this land transfer, we're going to see more of that happen. So what I'm requesting is people to show up to that meeting, and we know White Earth is going to help get people there. There's some busing available from the metro area, and if you have any questions on that and want to register, you can call Aisha at the White Earth office at area code 218-983-3258. And if so, yeah, we got some shuttle buses coming from the metro area. Yeah. There'll be some rooms for the White Earth constituents, and everybody will get meals, and we'll figure out a way that everyone could be taken care of. And one more.
Nancy, hurry, 10 seconds.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Right on.
Water's life.
Listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Up next, Larry Kay, Ho-Chunk Nation Music.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive. exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be cloudy, the high near 31. Tonight's cloudy, the low around 18. Tomorrow, still cloudy, with a high near 29. Monday, also cloudy, with a high near 32. And Tuesday, it stays cloudy, with a high near 29. The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Fill your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through January 26th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit at 2000 South 4th Avenue, more at electricfetus.com.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, Wendy, we got this new segment that just started up here, and it's Larry K, Indigenous in Music with Larry K, with Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so he's going to be interviewing someone and then playing a track, so let's take a listen.
From the Two Buffalo Studios in Sarasota, Florida, welcome to our Indigenous in Music Spotlight interview. I'm your host, Larry Kay, from the Ho-Chunk Nation. Welcome to our Indigenous in Music Spotlight. I'm Larry Kay. Tonight, our guest comes to us from Winnipeg, Manitoba. He is the creator of the award-winning guitar-based funk and tribal sounds band, Eagle and Hawk. 22 years in the making. They have just released their newest album, Liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back Mr. Vince Fontaine. How you doing, Vince?
Yeah. Hey, yes, hello. Thank you so much, Larry.
Oh,
good
yeah.
To hear from you again.
Yes, yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. For sure.
How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. You know, time is moving. Holy smokes, we've gone past Thanksgiving now. We're already going to start hearing some Christmas type of holiday season
yes.
things happening. So yeah, we're moving quick, and before you know, we'll be counting in 2020.
Oh yeah, and I bet you got big plans, especially with the new album out. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, it is a very exciting to put out a new album. It's Eagle and Hawk's first album in about 9 years or so. We had a bit of a hiatus, probably around 2011, 2012,
uh-huh.
Which actually opened the door for the creation of Indian City Band, of course,
right.
Which I got out of the gate with that.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle and Hawk somehow percolated on the sideline with the motor revving, and phones started ringing again. And, we did some select gigs over the last few years. And then it really picked up again about 2-3 years ago. Just the phone started ringing. And in a sense, Eagle and Hawk is, because it's been around for quite a while, a lot of folks still remember that group.
Sure.
And we're glad to hear that there was some new ideas in the works, right?
Yeah. We didn't give up on you. They're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Sure. Now, are you touring currently? Staying busy?
Well, we're starting to look at possible dates in 2020. We want to get across Turtle Island, so it'd be wonderful to go from coast to coast on both sides of the 49.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're starting to dot the calendar and get some dates happening in 2020 and start touring the album. We're pretty happy with the album and some of the songs. They're
mm-hmm.
they're a little social and political in a sense in some of the tracks.
Sure. Now, how long did it take you to put this project together?
Started thinking about it in the spring last year, and
okay.
As an artist will say, sometimes it comes quick. Sometimes you really have to labor for the music. And
right.
In this case with Eagle and Hawk, it wasn't that easy because, you know, after a 9-year hiatus, you wonder,
mm-hmm.
well, what kind of sound are you going to have?
Yeah.
You want to be sounding kind of 2020 and what's relevant and what are you going to sing about? And so, yeah, it took a bit of sketching out a bunch of ideas. We probably had 30, 40 song ideas and things that didn't quite make the cut, and then we just narrowed it down to 7 tracks.
Sure. Now, who's in your band?
Well, the core of the band is myself, and Jay Bodner has been the singer since 1998, so he'll be coming up to 20 years. Lauren Spatz-Mulhall, one of the original members as well, and our drummer is Rich Reed. We have a couple of other folks that jump in as the live band, and
sure.
As some people had just learned, some tragic news that happened in the Eaglehawk family this week, the sudden passing of our original keyboard player and band member, Mr. Jerry Atwell, he just passed away on the weekend. So we're,
Sad news, in a sense,
having some mourning and grief and then trying to carry on and pay tribute to him.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now what is your favorite thing about your fan base? You've been out there for quite a few years. What do you enjoy?
Well, I like playing live music. That's one thing. That's the main thing I love doing is playing live music. And when people enjoy the gig or they appreciate, you know, the music we play and the songs, that's wonderful. One of the real coolest things that ever happened, and it was in Milwaukee at Indian Summer Music Festival, and we were playing. People were actually singing along to the songs. I was quite moved by that.
That's cool.
To see people that I had never seen, and they're singing the words to the song. It was pretty something.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Definitely. Yeah. Now you can be back in the States?
I hope so. I hope to, I'd love to get to the Sunshine State. Love to get there. I'd like to get to Southern Cal. So like I said, we're looking to put the word out that Eagle and Hawk is
back,
set up and ready to go and to get out there and share some of our new music.
Sure. Now, Vince, can you give any advice to new and upcoming musicians breaking into the music scene?
Breaking in, I don't even know if that's the word anymore. let's just say, some advice to new artists. Well,
sure.
Get out and play your craft. If you're a guitar player or if you're a singer, a piano player, practice and play. And then look for opportunities where you're going to play. If it's going to be in the community center, you know, it's mm-hmm. going to be at a club, it's going to be in the church basement. Wherever you get an opportunity to play, or you're going to play on the community, on the res, you know, something like that, get an opportunity to play. Do your best to start writing and sketching new music. Put it on social media,
mm-hmm.
and then be committed to it and realize that music comes with so many rewards.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's very difficult because the phone doesn't always ring.
Right.
There's so many other great artists. There's so many great Native American Indigenous artists out there that I think it's grown so much in the last 15, 20 years. There's new generations of artists and voices, and they're just kind of following that line of succession. You know, before
sure.
Eagle and Hawk, there was folks like Keith Sokola, Bill Miller, Redbone, and John Trudell, and Floyd Westerman. There was on and on, right? So great to be part of that line, right?
Oh, yeah. Eagle and Hawk is featured in our current issue of the Say magazine. Visit us on our homepage at indigenousandmusic.com and get yourself a free issue. I would like to let our listeners know that we're speaking with Mr. Vince Fontaine. He's the creator of Eagle and Hawk, and they have just released their 9th album out, Liberty. And you can find out all about them on their Facebook page and hear their music on Spotify. Vince, thank you so much for showing back up again tonight in our Indigenous and Music Spotlight. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Always great to be there. Thank you so much for your support and getting the word out.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play you the title track from their new album. Here is Liberty.
Baby, I've traveled so far across the whole wide world just to be in your arms. You got a whole lot of money. I'm a humble man, but when I dream my dreams, they're all American. Oh, hey, Liberty, let me in. I wanna feel your concrete skin. I need a lover and a friend. Hey, Liberty, let me in. Hey, Liberty, don't say no. Don't. Shine your light on me again. Hey, Liberty, let me in.
Every man wants to love you. Huddle masses all around. They want to sleep in your bed. They want to wear your crown. So please have mercy on this tired soul.
Music from Eagle and Hawk, and that was their title track, Liberty. In case you're just tuning in, Vince Fontaine was just here and stopped by in our spotlight.
Welcome, welcome to Indigenous in Music.
Thank you for tuning in today. Visit us on our music page at indigenousinmusic.com. I'm your host, Larry Kay, from the Ho-Chunk Nation. You're listening to our Indigenous in Music Spotlight interview on Native Roots Radio.
Hey, this is Uncle Curtis Moshe Hanajinga from Native Roots Radio. The advertisers you hear on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake, help us stay on the air. Help us by supporting our wonderful sponsors. Stop in and let them know you heard about them on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. You will be helping us as well as helping out the economy by supporting local businesses. For a list of our sponsors, visit our website at nativerootsradio.com.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
When we heal from our traumas,
When we face our fears.
Let go of our addictions.
When we relearn our values.
When we live our teachings.
Respecting our elders.
Cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit.
There will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. I'm here with Wendy, and wow, we're winding down the show here.
We are. We were just talking about how hungry we were and what we want to eat, but you want to know what I'm in the mood for?
What?
I'm in the mood for the Dirty Secret at J. Selby.
Oh, one of our sponsors.
Yeah,
how convenient.
The Dirty Secret is a vegan version of the McDonald's Big Mac, and it's really yummy. So.
Oh, wow. I wish we weren't talking about food. My mouth is watering. It's
okay.
Hard to talk.
We'll have a few more minutes, right. And then we'll be on our way over there.
I'll get my Zubas and change. And
you're not going to wear your Zumbies there?
No. Hey, what a great show, Ruth Buffalo. And it's interesting, too, because Sharice Davids just did the intro to our show here, or the segment.
Yeah.
And she's up for re-election, and I think we should try and reach out to her and get her on again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and get some support down there, because I hear it's not pretty down in Kansas. They're attacking her left and right.
Mm.
And so we'll have to see what we can do to support her. And it's always good to hear from Mary Kunish Podine, who's now running for state senator.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm very happy for her. Congratulations again, Mary.
Yeah, right. And for you people that are coming out to the Blue State Ball, I know we're on different stations here across the country, and it's a local thing for AM 950. It's a fundraiser, and it's a fun thing, and they only have like 200 tickets they're mm-hmm. selling. And so us three, meaning Wendy, me, and Mary Kunish Podine will be there saying hi and thanks for the support. Because as you know, there's other as a commercial station, I don't know, how does it go, that 90% of the radio stations are owned by 8 companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always happy to be on AM 950 and all the other stations across the country, too. We're excited to be out there and spread the word and spread the message. We're just a conduit for that.
Very good, babe. Yeah. I know. Excellent. Emma was awesome as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Needham from Red Lake.
Right.
Nancy Bolio from 350 Bemidji.
Mm-hmm.
Really good information. I wish we can go up there to fight the line 3. It just seems to me that they make it at such inconvenient times. I mean, it's like on a Friday at 8:30 when everybody's working.
Well, that's here. That's in the Twin Cities. That's the PUC,
that's
which you talked about.
Then. Okay.
Yeah. There was another thing she talked about, too, that's happening at the same time, of course. But what she was talking about is a PUC meeting added a study for Lake Superior,
mm-hmm.
and that's January 31st, and that's downtown.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, a lot of the people that are paid to be there
mm-hmm.
are going to be there wearing their shirts and saying, you know,
how the
pipeline's
gonna
be great.
Important, and it's great, and it's going to give jobs, and you know, blah blah blah, and they'll clean it. It's not going to spill. There's not going to be any oil spills, and if there are, they're going to clean it up, and there's not going to be any problems to the environment or the water.
Well, we're not going to say what station we were listening to last night, but there was a show on TV we watch every week, and mm-hmm. it's on PBS, and I just did say it. We saw an Enbridge commercial.
Yeah.
And they're supporting Almanac, right. The TV show. So that was disturbing, to say the least.
And I said to you, Robert, I wouldn't care if Enbridge gave us $1 million to advertise on our station. We would tell them, I can't say
no,
it on
thanks.
The air.
No, thanks.
That's right. And Larry Kay, awesome.
Yeah. Indigenous in Music.
And
with
I
Larry
like
K.
that song. You know why?
Why?
Because I am a closet country listener.
Whoa.
And you know that. So.
Oh, I do, but I.
So that country, so it was kind of like a country kind of twangy song. So I kind of was grooving.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. No, it was a good song, and it's always great to support Indigenous and Native musicians.
And he's Ho-Chunk, isn't he?
Well, Larry is. I don't know. Not the musician.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Larry is. So Larry's from Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yeah.
I want to do that, and I want to have a show like that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, yeah, what else, Wendy? I mean, you got a little more information to talk about, some sacred animal stuff,
I always have stuff to talk about, and I always love talking about our sacred animals. And I was just reading an article about the African lions and the canned hunting. So these lions are brought up by people. They're hand-fed. They're kept in a cage. And then trophy hunters get to come and pay a lot of money. And then they just let that lion out to roam around so that the trophy hunter can kill this animal that was that likes people, you know. So, and then, right. then the trophy hunter is laying, you know, taking pictures next of this dead, beautiful animal that was raised by humans in captivity. Mm-hmm. So I was just reading something about that. So that's pretty sad, and I'm, you know, whatever. But
right. It's really sad. You know, and back to what Mary Kunush Podine had to say. She had gave us a awesome, like, book report.
Yeah, a list of all those books. That's and great.
We have a couple here, and you know, Moon Palace gave us this book here, this Town Sleeps, to check it out, and because she'll probably Moon Palace will probably have them as a signature come and sign books and do a reading.
Yep, advanced reading copy on sale. The book will be on sale March 20th. This Town Sleeps,
yeah.
Dennis E. Staples, and it's an Indigenous author.
What's it about?
And it should be really awesome. Well, it's set on a reservation in far northern Minnesota. This Town Sleep explores the many ways history, culture, landscape, and lineages shape our lives, our understanding of the world we inhabit, and stories we tell ourselves to make sense of it all. So that's... Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about lineage and lineage and what Red Lake did. You know, we talked about that before, but the people that didn't hear that, Red Lake, everyone that was born 1958 and before became full Native, full-blood Native American.
Yeah.
And that's to preserve the nations the and lineage. The tribe. Yeah,
that's so, right. That's great.
And I think other nations will follow suit.
Yeah. They're going to have to. I mean,
right. We don't
people
want
people aren't a hundred or a quarter or an eighth. I mean, what does it matter really if you're brought up Native American and you're living the way and the traditions and going to powwows and taking care of your people? It shouldn't matter how much lineage you have, but in some cases it does. So.
Yeah.
I mean, to be enrolled, a member of a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think our Facebook just crashed. Is that what just happened there,
yeah,
Robert?
Right.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, well, we got everything except except this part.
That's so, okay.
Yeah, so, well, you know, we're always excited. This is our third year being on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then we also have another show.
We have another show. Pilots Progressive Party, and that's on Wednesdays from 5 to 6. Pilots Progressive Party. It's a different show. It's not Indigenous, but it can be because Robert is an Indigenous host here on the show.
Well, it's a whole nother show, but I like to be called Native American because everybody's Indigenous.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Native American. Mm-hmm.
So even Indian's good for me, but I know some people get upset about that. But mm-hmm. I know for me, American Indian movement that changed the world, if it was good enough for them to be called Indians, it's good enough for me. But that, again, that's a whole nother show. So I'm excited. We're gonna be on Wednesday again. And mm-hmm. again, the Blue State Ball, we want to remind everyone.
I can't remember the date of it, though.
It's the 23rd of February, Sunday. From
February 23rd.
And at that bougie, what's the name of the place?
Hold on 1 second. I couldn't pronounce it. Talk for a second. So the Blue State Ball is a fundraiser for AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And it is on February 23rd. Mm-hmm. It's a Sunday, and it's from, I think, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
The Brew House Brew Labs on 1315 Tyler Street, Northeast Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be a bougie Indians there at the Baja's
Yeah,
Brew.
Come on down and come say hi and hang out with us. It'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great show, Peeny Geeky Wendy, for all you do and bringing up for our sacred animals. And I want to thank everybody that's been on. I want to thank Ruth Buffalo. I want to thank Mary Kanush Podine, Emma Needham, of course, Wendy Pilot, Nancy Bolio, and Larry Knutson, who's down in Florida, giving us great, with his show, Larry K, with Indigenous Music. And I would like to end with these thoughts. The ground on which you stand on is sacred ground. It is. Where is that? It is. The ground, we need to resist, divest. You've been listening and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. Yeah, and I'm awake, and the revolution is kicking in at high gear. Peeny Geeky to all our guests. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.